The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I'm George Chen, and you're listening to SupDoc, a show where we talk to our interesting friends about documentaries. Today, we're covering the Netflix series Bad Vegan, Fame, Fraud, Fugitives, a tale of manipulation, Stockholm Syndrome, and only tangentially veganism. It's a four-part series directed by Chris Smith, a fan favorite here at SupDoc. This is truly one of the more baffling stories in a scam-heavy season of television, so we just had to do an episode on it. And our guest to discuss this series with us today is writer Laura Hooperbeck. Her work has appeared in Cosmopolitan, Jezebel, and she's a writer on Fox's Real North. Hi, and welcome to SupDoc, Laura.
Hi, George. I just want to, the show is called The Great North. But I also...
Oh my God, let me take that whole intro over again. No, why did I write Real North?
I love the Real North, too.
Oh my God.
I want to write on the... If anyone's hiring for the Real North,
oh my
just
God.
Let me know.
I'm like, okay, like, I'll just read... Okay, we'll just say The Great North. I don't know.
Yes.
Clearly, I've only seen the clips that are available online. But how is working on that show? How has it been going writing for that show?
Good. Yeah, it's great. Yeah, very, very good. Thank you for asking.
and like how I was going to ask, like, if writing for animation, I wonder how that is, different from other work you've done. I mean, or it's more like kind of like journalistic stuff you've done in the past.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely it's I guess it's all writing. Mm-hmm. Like animation, you have more like fun action sequences. And like, it's better if the jokes are more physical and, but it's writing.
It's just writing.
It's just writing.
Yeah, no, well, I was glad I was able to hook you up with my other friend to just, you know, she wanted to learn more about the industry. So
yeah, she was great.
Yeah. I'm glad.
Everyone hire Liz Fitzgerald. She's a lovely, hilarious human ready to go on your comedic program.
Nice. And I feel bad that we've been talking about having you on the show a while ago, and then you're just like, I don't know, Bad Vegan? And then you're like, great, I haven't actually watched it yet. I'm like, oh no, you haven't
I know.
It's a four-hour commitment. It's a four-hour, it has very little to do with actual veganism. Oh my gosh. I had vaguely heard something about this story when it was happening. I guess when they were arrested was like 2017. Did you know much about this story beforehand?
Yeah, I mean, I knew a little. I had eaten at the restaurant.
Oh, you had? Okay.
Yeah, I had gone there because it was really like very, it was very, very popular.
Real food and wine in Manhattan?
Food and wine in Manhattan.
I keep saying real for everything. The Pure North. That's why.
The Pure North sounds like it's a terrifying show.
That is a very terrifying. Burzum is in the soundtrack. Yeah.
Stay away from the Pure North.
Yeah.
But maybe there is something in the stars or the cosmos or something about the word real that you need to like focus in on. Like someone's trying to send you a message.
I know. I've been too fake for too long.
Keep it real, George.
I know, the fake George. So, Pure Food and Wine. I just rewatched this. Why am I? I'm just getting names wrong for everything. Sarma Melangalis is the owner of this restaurant, founded it with her ex boyfriend Matthew Kenny.
Yes.
Pretty sure I got that name right.
Yes. Yes. And he has some vegan restaurants out here too in LA.
Oh, in LA. I was reading that he has one in San Francisco, but yeah, he they founded it together. He was kind of this rising star. She had had a Wharton like economics degree. Or did she have a master's degree? I was kind of confused if she also had like a grad degree.
I was also confused. I thought that Wharton was just grad school.
Okay, then it probably is.
But I could be totally wrong. I don't know anything about business or college. So I know nothing.
I know nothing about the East Coast.
It's like a blur.
She ends up, it sounds like he, okay, so here's my experience of watching the show. I did fall asleep the first time I watched it.
That's fair.
And then, so then I just rewatched it today. And like I kind of fallen this. I dozed off a little during the first episode, so I watched that again. I'm like, oh, I missed the entire thing of like why the kind of the stuff that set up that there was a reason this relationship happened. So I'd watched the episodes 2 through 4, being like, I don't get why she's in this relationship at all.
Yes, I think I had not a dissimilar experience to you. I was very distraught. I was like petting my dog, looking at my phone. I was like, Laura, focus up. But I was getting a little bit bored.
It was a little boring.
But I think that it said that she and this Shane slash Anthony met on Words with Friends. Am I remembering that?
Oh, they I think they deepened their connection via Words with Friends, but okay. Shane Fox, as he was known on Twitter. I had somehow like fallen asleep during the entire like flirtation period and the Alec Baldwin stuff. So I was like,
"Oh, George, me too. This is going to be great."
Oh no, no, but it's fresh in my mind now. Okay, just like when I watched this like a month ago. This has been out for a while, but I'm just seeing people commenting on it on Twitter. Just like I think it takes a little while. It's kind of a slow burn. I don't feel like there was as much like momentum behind this one as there was with like something like Inventing Anna, obviously, which is like a fictional retelling. But Chris Smith, the director of American Movie, also did a bunch of stuff for Netflix, like the Jim and Andy. He did the College Admissions Scandal movie. Like it's all very weird when you know there's a guy who made American Movie. It doesn't
which I
totally
consider to be a perfect documentary.
No, this is like there's definitely like twists and turns in this that kept you hooked into it, even though I'm like, this is trash. But I mean, maybe it's just because these people are trash. I don't know. The filmmaking, I think they did a good job with how many weird reveals there are. There's a couple of very artful things they've done in here that I do applaud. Will Richards is one of them.
The reveal is like, what?
But, okay, so just starting off, Sarma Melangalis and Matthew Kenny, they had tried to do a restaurant. It didn't really go very well. Then they discovered the raw food movement.
Yes.
And they got super deep into eating raw. And I don't know that they were vegan beforehand. It sounds like
they couldn't tell. I don't think that I think that his restaurant when they met wasn't vegan, but everything that he's done since then, I think, has been vegan.
Yeah, I think that was like a real real life-changing, eye-opening thing for them to do the vegan thing. And I would say vegan's one thing, because like I've been to plenty of vegan restaurants where food is cooked. But raw vegan, I'm like, the raw is almost more of the anomaly to me at this point in 2022.
I totally agree with you. Veganism seems so kind of almost mainstream these days. Like I'm vegan and I can eat anywhere and no problemo. Yeah. Like every restaurant that I go to has vegan options. Even like steakhouses have vegan options.
It's
when you add in like the raw part, you're like, oh, this is like next level.
Oh, we'll get into like my feelings on raw food momentarily, but okay. So they start Pure Food and Wine, not Great Food and Wine, as I may have thought it was. Pure Food and Wine, New York. She ends up buying Matthew out of the business with the help of Jeffrey Chowderow, who is a, you know, financier, restaurateur.
Also somewhat of a shady character,
yeah,
I felt.
Yeah, I was coming across a couple of arrests or pleading guilty issues Jeffrey Chowderow has. He sort of is like this bizarre benevolent figure in this, and he's like, you take have $1.5 million and just pay me back whenever. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, you're like, okay, what? There's more. And with him, I was like, there's definitely more to the story with this guy that we're not going to dive into, but he's a little shady lady.
I do feel like there's something alluded to, like Sarma is very a white blonde woman.
Yes.
Right. And there's a lot made of like there was like a Howard Stern, just like there's this hot blonde, and like I'm like I wonder if it is kind of like this Elizabeth Holmes thing, a little bit of like we'll give you have your money, enjoy your experience.
I'm supporting this conventionally hot woman, and it like makes me feel good about myself, and
like there's some sort of like, or is like, is there some kind of like weird ulterior thing going on? It's a lot is made of that. It's very unfortunate, but it is also I think part of her lifestyle branding, or part of like the appeal of what made people want to go to this place in the first place, is like the combo of like the power couple of Matthew and Sarma in the beginning of Pure Food and Wine. It seems like there's a little bit of that going on. So that seems like she's actually doing pretty well running this business. She even opens a secondary shop called One Great Duck. one very great duck. And it sounds like that was like kind of the if people wanted to start cooking raw, that's not what you say. Getting the groceries, doing groceries and like juice smoothies, things like that. They were doing that.
Buying vegetables and cutting them up.
Yeah. Pre-cutting the vegetables for you. Yeah. Baby birding, I think, is a better way to phrase it. That's what raw food is. It's baby birding. I masticated this for you. Somewhere along this way, she's kind of lonely. She meets Alec Baldwin at the restaurant. There is a whole... I think that they actually did date.
I think it's quite possible. I mean, it's really sad to me that, like, her best option for men was Alec Baldwin. Like, I'm like, I wish you would have gone with Alec Baldwin, who I think is, like, a pretty terrible person in general.
Like,
but,
somehow
like, he's
step
the best
up.
Of the shitty bunch. It's like, Jesus, like, God, is it too late? Can you get Hilaria out of the picture?
Exactly. I mean, she met Hilaria and Alec met at the restaurant. That's the other part of the story. So she starts to be like, all these things in her life have this, if it has something to do with Alec Baldwin, it's a sign. Like, she was trying to get him to adopt a dog, and then she ends up adopting her dog, Leon, very cute dog.
Leon,
dog.
My favorite character. He is a prince among dogs. He is a wonderful little angel.
Yeah, the charisma of Leon is more explainable than the charisma of Shane Fox. But
it's true. He's off the charts.
Yeah, so Shane Fox is a dude who is just on Twitter in 2011, which I think a lot of us were.
That's his claim to fame.
I think, he was a reply guy on Twitter. The most successful reply guy. He basically would just at Alec Baldwin, and Alec Baldwin would reply. And then that validated him in Sarma's eyes as a legit guy. I had heard something somewhere else like that, like other places like Funny or Die had like retweeted Shane Fox, or had like he had some kind of comedy Twitter cred.
That's wild.
That is wild to me. I mean, the early days of Twitter were even a different kind of Wild West than they are now.
I was just thinking that too, because he definitely has like the charisma of a baked potato. So you're just like, what is happening?
Which
like,
is perfect for a Twitter troll. Yeah,
no, it's true. He's absolutely. He was going hard, and she was responding, and people loved it. Apparently,
yeah, to the point of getting in words with friends, which I've never tried to. I've never successfully used words with friends to woo anyone. I don't think
I have never wooed anyone. I did go hard, like back and forth with my mom for like a brief 2 weeks in like 2011 or whatever.
Well,
but I haven't.
Yeah, that's how you ask your mom for money, right?
This is how I got my $300,000.
Yeah, exactly.
To start my own raw food empire.
Oh, Sarma Mama.
One
the real Sarma Mama.
I know.
So
mama.
I'm trying to think back in 2011. I think I may have met a lot of people on Twitter just through, you know, like, oh, you have a check. You're verified. I guess you're a real person. I mean,
I'll go to your show.
Oh, my God. I got on Twitter in 2009. I was reminded of this recently. Oh, Lord. What a long social media nightmare it's been.
I remember I got on around the same time, and I just remember, like, tweeting at one of my other friends on it, like, I'm at the grocery store. What should I buy? Like, using it as essentially a text message situation, and went hard like that for a couple of years until I was like, oh, people do jokes and stuff. And then obviously became what it is now, which is, there was a golden period, though, when it was just people doing jokes, and that was so fun.
It was fun. I might have retweeted a Shane Fox back then.
I don't want to go back that far because I'm afraid how many Shane Foxes I'm going to find.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. It's like he, I'm sure, had more than one account. That's the other thing. He had to have like a couple sock puppet accounts.
Yes.
So
Will Robbins.
Oh, my gosh.
Will Richards.
I feel like, okay, so Shane Fox, he works his way. He doesn't even live in New York, but he somehow gets this long-distance relationship going with Sarma. He claims to live, I think, in Massachusetts. I thought he was living in Florida a lot of this time.
I think so, too. Florida. I think you're right.
Yeah, so he just must have, like, some family or someone in Massachusetts he can use a reference to. Now, we kind of learned this.
Made up.
Yeah, we learned a lot of stuff about Shane in a chronological, you know, kind of asynchronous, a lot of knowledge is dropped in different chunks. So it's kind of episode two or maybe it was almost episode three where we really get into like the Shane backstory. Well, we know Shane is not his real name. Shane Fox is not his legal name. It turns out his legal name is Anthony Strangis.
Perfect name.
And,
no notes.
You know, yeah, she brings him by the restaurant a couple times. People are kind of like, okay, I guess that's cool. I guess it's cool that you're with someone. I didn't realize kind of she had been pretty lonely after the breakup, had sunk herself into the work. Basically, her main relationship was with the dog.
Which is not so bad.
No, that's not so bad at all. I was going to say one thing comes up a lot in this series, and it does come up a lot in other aspects of life, too. Or other, you know, realms where it's this idea that, like, your coworkers are your family, right? Like, and this really backfires. Or it's really, like, it's like, kind of funny. We'll get to the point where there is a unionization effort at this restaurant, which, you know, didn't quite work the way I think it was supposed to, but we're jumping ahead of ourselves. Shane/Anthony, Sarma, have this kind of intense, I think they call it love bombing, when people just like,
yes,
you're like, it's an emotional manipulation of just like, hey, we're destined to be together. I've known you through many lifetimes, and I've owned your dog in a past life. Sick,
and I'm gonna make him immortal. We're all we're all the same energy. We belong together.
I feel like the immortal thing doesn't come up until maybe the second or third episode. And like,
I think you're right. It's like when he gets desperate. He's like, reached the end of reality rope, and then he's like, I need to go harder. I need to tell her I'm going to make her dog live forever.
Right. Well, because all he says in the beginning, he just alludes to like, I'm like Black Ops. I am like, I am like very a secret super spy who actually just loves adding Alec Baldwin on Twitter.
Yeah.
Like, right? You know, the way most super spies do. They love Twitter.
When I'm
they
out
love
the
to
field,
make jokes.
I'm playing Words with Friends.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's like, okay, there's, dude, sure.
There's like so many inconsistencies to this story. It's bonkers. Just like, yo, about to assassinate a dictator. What should I order for lunch? You know, like.
Totally.
You know, Shane/Anthony is claiming he's. He's like, well, if I told you what I did for a living, I'd have to kill you. And she marries this guy.
Yeah, I know.
Still,
it's a bummer.
Unclear, like, exactly. There's some sort of theory that she thought he could bail her out of her financial solution. Like, they were dating.
Yeah.
They were for real dating. And yes. I think I'd somehow missed that. So it was just like, he scammed his way into a marriage. I didn't really get.
Because it really, you jumped yeah. really fast from yeah. them. So you kind of miss any sort of like, any time when maybe it was good between them, which is how normally like a coercive, manipulative, domestic right. violence starts, right?
Yeah. It was purely that Words with Friends time really hooked her, I guess.
Then all of a sudden he was like, I'm going to make your dog immortal. And you're like, how did we get to here so fast? Yeah.
Also, I mean, he's like, there's this thing about like, he's a big dude. And she's like, I feel safe with the big dude. I'm like, well, that's going to really backfire.
Yeah.
Like, this is a big dude that you cannot get away from. Who's just like, yeah. every time he yells is like, I'm like, ugh, I get scared.
Yeah, he's scary dude. Constantly. For sure.
There was always these sort of weird metaphorical things. Like, he would call people red shirts and blue shirts. He could look at somebody and know that's a bad person or that's a good person. He would sometimes say that about certain people that worked for me.
If you have gone from blue to red, that's just not gonna be good.
Me.
Yes, you. I can't fuck around on this. I am asking you to shoot from the fucking hip.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
So he's pretty not involved in the business side of things for a while. He, like, the restaurant's actually doing
okay. Except for taking her money.
Yeah.
But other than that, yes.
You know, well, we get, yeah, I don't think that happens, like, right away, right? He starts just asking her for money.
Yeah.
And we find out later, he's just, like, he claims he's, like, doing a government assass, but he's, like, just at the casino.
He's like at the dollar slots.
Yeah.
He's like, I need you to send me money so that I can just have it sit in this bank account because that's how it works. And I'll see you. I'm doing black ops. I can't tell you where I am. Yeah. Email with Will Richards. Goodbye.
Oh my God. I'm actually surprised that if he actually had been like, it's 2012, like, yo, baby, I'm going to get you into some Bitcoin. Let's just do this. Give me the money.
Yes.
That would be like a better reality.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
I mean,
he was definitely not even thinking that far ahead.
No,
he just like wanted that money to gamble.
Yeah, yeah, just roulette wheel. Like,
yeah.
Do you gamble? Have you gambled? Do you ever do
anything? Oh my God, I love to gamble.
Oh, I do too.
George, it's the best. I cannot. That's why I cannot go to Vegas for more than a couple days because I will just sit at that craps table. I mean, stand at that craps table. But craps is my game of choice. I love it. I feel like you have like pretty decent odds at craps. I definitely at one point in my life was like, craps could be a job for me because I'm always bringing home a couple $100. And then once I lost like $300, I was like, I guess it's not a job.
Yeah.
But I do. My heart belongs to craps. So what's your game?
I mean, I think is like, I don't remember any like card game rules anymore. Like I used to play bridge when I was a kid. I don't know how to play poker. So I think I would be... I did do roulette wheel one time in Vegas. Like, my mom used to live in Nevada. She lived in, like, Henderson.
Okay.
And, like, yeah, and then my other friend was in town, and we just, like, met up at the casino, and just, like, I'm like, I'm gonna maybe try spending $20 and try some, put it all on black, you know, like, that kind of thing.
Yes.
And, like, I'm like, I know that I, because there was a time I was really into scratchers. Like,
oh my,
lottery
wait,
scratchers.
Tell me about this.
And then, like, in college, I was very, I don't know, I kept, occasionally you would just win a ticket to, like, get another lottery ticket, California lottery.
So satisfying.
It's like, I'm like, I got $3. I can just get 3 scratchers. You
yeah,
never
why
know.
Not? What
never
are you
going to
do with that $3?
I mean, I know there's people that do stuff. They're like, okay, there's 5 of us. We're going to, like, all put in a hundo. We'll get, like, all these. We'll, like, you know, do our favorite numbers. We'll try to do the Powerball. I'm like, I can't. A scratcher is as far as I can figure out. I can't do anything. Beyond a scratcher.
Yes.
Like, this is, like, all I can figure out to do.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like I would do it every week, but I would just, it was like, I definitely didn't need to be doing it, right? And
yeah.
It was just, like, the thrill of, like, the last time I did this was, like, Albertsons would do, like, these Monopoly things. And I'd be
so
like,
fun.
And I would just, they would just be handing, like, even if I didn't want it, like, just throw the Monopoly pieces at you. You know, like,
you had to have it. That's like, you have no choice.
Yeah. I'm like, well, I mean, I got it. And then I had the board. I was like, okay, I got almost everything. And I realized it's like, just like 2 things that are impossible to get. Right.
Yeah.
No matter how many like Park Places they throw out, there's just like 2 you can't get.
You're never gonna. It's, I know. I feel like McDonald's Monopoly really primed quite a few of us to be wanting to gamble for our entire lives. Like, cause I remember really wanting to go to McDonald's, and I didn't even like love anything, but I wanted the chicken McNuggets, the orange drink, and like 75 Monopoly cards.
Wait, did they have an orange drink that wasn't orange juice? Was it kind of like an Orange Julius type thing?
It was like an Orange Julius, like a orange soda that was like, I just remember when I was in grade school, we did jump rope for heart, and instead of water, they had McDonald's orange drink, and it really kept me going. I'm surprised kids didn't just drop dead.
Yeah.
But I just remember being like, I'll do jump rope for heart just so I can drink unlimited orange drink. And I probably drank like 15 gallons. I was just like guzzling that shit. I loved it.
I was an orange soda fan for a minute before I was like, I need to stop drinking soda. I'm back to, pandemic's been, we've all had to cope with pandemic in our own ways.
Mine
has been very carb based. So it's really,
that's a beautiful way to get through this.
I know. Okay. So I forget where we are in the story. Okay. They're married.
Yes. Okay. They're married.
They're married.
Yes.
And like, the film does interesting stuff. Hey, has your husband ever asked for your all of your passwords?
No, and I mean, yeah, I can't even imagine. Like,
what if your husband had a friend and he said, "Yo, give my friend all of your passwords to everything."
It's for your own protection,
Laura.
And then I start a full relationship emailing with his friend, and his friend being like, I can't tell you where he is. He wouldn't even like us talking. And
he's like, in Seattle right now.
It's like extremely fucking strange. Yeah, I would immediately be like, that is you.
Yeah.
But I also think, I don't know, she was obviously so deep into it at this point, just like fully in this abusive relationship.
Yeah. And like, I didn't think, like, I watch these things to be kind of like Schadenfreude, right? Like, haha, like very Nelson.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh, they really, I wouldn't want to be in this position. This is pretty awful. And I think everyone keeps saying a lot of these scam things are like a lot of cult things. This is like, does tie into like, you made a point about cults and how cult like this is, and like,
yeah,
it really is like, yeah, there's immortality for you and your dog if you just can pass these tests, which is
you'll
like
never
the
pass.
Basis of a lot of religions also, you know.
Yeah.
Regular religions and cults, but
gotta tithe.
Yeah, you gotta tithe. so the manipulation and the cult thing, I watched a lot of docs, as you may know, by the basis of this show.
Yeah.
A lot of cult docs, they always have to make this point of, like, it could happen to anyone. It could happen to you.
Yeah.
And, I mean, if someone told me my cat could live forever, I would at least listen.
I'm not gonna close the computer.
Look, if we can meet up in the next life, or if, like, we could just have, I mean, there's certain things, it's just, here's what I don't get. The cosmology that he lays out is never realized to me and has never fleshed out. Like, I spent 6 hours watching the Heaven's Gate thing, right? Like, yeah. I kind of get, like, what the Heaven's Gate people were going
through. The path that they went down.
Yeah, yeah. There is a consensus building that happened with Heaven's Gate, right?
Yeah.
And with this, it's just like a forceful gamer. Like, it's yes. kind of the only way I could think to describe, like, what is happening here. It's just like,
yeah.
just like they, at one point, she's like, I don't watch the Marvel movies. And I realized he's like really into Chris Hemsworth. And so he's like, I have this brother who's like an evil version of me. And I'm like, oh, yeah. love to meet the evil version of Shane Fox's brother. Like, oh, he's so good and yes. pure.
Of course. It would be like, what, on Futurama, Bender and...
An anti-Bender?
Yeah, there's like, forget his name, but Flexo. And he's just like the nicest guy. And you're like, he's the friend grows evil. Yeah, that's good.
Bizarro universe.
Yeah, Shane it's just Fox. Like, he's just this like angelic creature. Yeah.
Yeah, that would be the biggest reveal. Like, oh, hi, I'm Anthony's brother. I'm a real chill guy. I'm a dentist. I'm a real high-level.
Don't tell your bad, you're voicing him. I imagine him like pushing his glasses up and like adjusting his pocket protector.
Mm. Yeah, Simon, you're like, really a successful businesswoman. Yeah. I'd like to give you money.
Yeah.
Don't. Can I invest in your dream? All right.
Simon's so, like, no thanks. I only like scammers. So
yeah,
bye.
Oh my god. So yeah, she's just. He'll just be like not around and just be like, yo, baby, wire me 10 grand.
Yeah.
And she's like, okay, I guess I will.
I know. I mean, part of me is like, I feel like probably at the beginning it was out of this desperation of get them because she cared so much about her business and yeah. like it was such a huge part of her identity. And what you were saying, like family versus business, where like some businesses make it where it's like, we're a family, we all need to stick together. And it's like, uh-uh, honey, like this is a fucking business. This is my job. Like I need a paycheck. But I feel like she was like kind of person who would have done anything to keep that place up and running. And that's, and she kind of, maybe it was like at first a means to an end.
We were, you and I both watched The Dropout, right?
Yes.
Oh, it's so well done. So well done.
Yeah, so good.
Definitely a lot of Dropout vibes. I mean, a lot of just like, you know, someone with a dream and not necessarily, I mean, she did have a degree from Wharton, unlike The Dropout. So, and like, also I feel like the restaurant business is like, it's not, there is like, obviously some mystique and some marketing involved, but it's not, they're not trying to reinvent the wheel completely yeah. the way, like, you know, Theranos was trying to reinvent the wheel. And also, like, they didn't have the sheen. They weren't getting VC money. I guess Jeffrey yes. Chowdhury is, like, the Larry Ellison of this yeah. story.
It's, like, millions versus billions.
Right, yeah. right.
It's, like, it's a different, like, playing field.
The scale
yeah.
is slightly different. And it's, like, it's frustrating. Like, I was, you know, like, trying to understand, like, what even she was in. She owed $2 million, which she was at the point where the profits were at least $500,000 every year. Like they were bringing in $7 million, yeah. but they were only profiting maybe $500,000. So it's like, yeah. oh, that means in 4 years you could pay that off, right? Which yeah. is not
Isn't that
long.
Crazy that that's like yeah. a wildly successful restaurant too? Because it was like yeah. a packed place. Like they were doing tons of, I don't know. It's just like such a hard business to be in as restaurants.
I mean, like, yeah, restaurants in general, but like if you're only yeah. doing raw, then like you're not even like, you can't like freeze stuff or, you know, the yeah. way. That
That's
a lot
true.
Of
Your ass
do.
Needs to be at the farmer's market every day.
You gotta be
paying
doing the
top
raw.
Dollar for those heirloom tomatoes.
Yeah, and like I don't do raw prep. I mean a salad, you know, that's it. And yeah. I'll have like a hard boiled egg in there. I'm not a stickler. I mean, like I'm like a tahini boy these days. Like that's my go to. But
love a tahini dressing.
Yeah,
just love a tahini and a cookie.
That's been like my big the COVID discovery is the tahini. I'm all about I'm gonna go see Ottolenghi speak in a couple weeks.
He's doing a talk in Claremont.
Oh my god. I got on the master class. We got that master class trial. I was like,
Shit, don't even tell me about that because I'll forward you.
I'll forward you. I think a lot of his recipes are online. I'll say that about Ottolenghi. I'm not like a raw food guy. I'll say like this. Did you go to Cafe Gratitude? Because that was also a cult, right?
Yes. So you remember, because...
We need to set the table for people that don't know Cafe Gratitude, because I think it's only West
Cafe
Coast.
Gratitude. I remember, because Cafe Gratitude started in San Francisco in the Mission.
Yes.
And I used to go to that original one, and I was always so embarrassed to bring anyone there who was, like, over the age of 25, because, that's when I would see it through their eyes and be like, this is an absolutely humiliating experience, because you have to order, like, I remember bringing my mom there and her being like, uh-uh, like, I want the milk, I want the key lime milkshake, and then being, I'm not saying I am nourished or whatever.
Yeah, that's how you order, you have to declare... I am
vibrant. Yeah. I am astute. Like, they're all just, it's like, I would kind of get into it. It would definitely help if you were like not super sober, but like, just to be like, I am vibrant. I am beautiful. I am wanting. Just be like, and then you just get your, and it was, and everything tasted the same, but it kind of tasted good. Like, it was good. Like, it didn't taste bad.
No,
it just tasted the same.
Yeah, I feel like there was a lot of coconut in everything.
So much coconut. So much flax.
Flax. I mean, it definitely introduced me to a lot of things. I never did. Like, you can make a noodle out of something that's not a noodle? Okay.
Yeah.
A lot of that.
Noodle. So I learned so much about just the way that food was headed into the future. But we learned at Cafe Gratitude.
Yeah, but then there was like a lot of labor issues there. Yeah. A lot of
very cultish tendencies with those owners, right?
So that's the part. Okay. And I know you mentioned this. I know, like, you feel this way. I would agree with this, even though I'm not vegan. My sister is very vegan, so I feel like I, by association, get a lot of the vegan associations. But, this idea that they... I don't know if it was the journalist who wrote the story, who is... he's a big part of this, Alan Salkin. I don't know if it was him saying this or someone else just saying, she was a vegan, so she was real hippy-dippy and believed in
into crystals and ethereal.
No, she wasn't in Silver Lake. She was. That's not necessarily what being vegan's about at all. And it's weird. It's just like the Cafe Gratitude vibe is definitely more of that vibe than this. This is like a Manhattanite, like, cool place.
Absolutely. I would know. I was absolutely thinking about that and just thinking about like a lot of the vegans that I know and have known are just like they're just like, it's everybody, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, you can't really like pin down who a vegan is. Like, mm-hmm. we walk amongst you. you don't know. And kind of like how he was describing veganism was definitely just like this kind of this idea that I think that people who are not vegan and maybe are also 75 years old or older think about what a vegan is.
Right.
And like...
It's like a Grateful Dead person is what they're picturing.
Exactly. It's like, what are you talking about? Like, she's covered in crystals and she's doing Reiki at the same time that she's like eating her raw lasagna or whatever. Yeah, and it's I don't know. I think...
not all vegans is what you're not, saying.
Hashtag not all vegans. No, please take that out. But it was definitely like... what am I trying to say here? Just that I think, it's pure food and wine was more of a place that was just like cool. Like it was like how they were talking about like Owen Wilson would come in without shoes on, which is disgusting.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know, it was just more of like this cachet of these like, conventionally attractive, like thin, able-bodied white people mm-hmm. owning this restaurant where celebrities eat. It's like most vegans that I knew at the time in New York were not eating at Pure Food and Wine. It was like a place that people from out of town would go because maybe they would see a celebrity. It's like not where actual... I don't think a lot of vegans ate there. I think it was more just like, this is like a place that people go so they can be like, I've been to Pure Food and Wine and, and I saw her, that kind of a thing.
Oh, I saw. So she is a bit of a celebrity in that Yeah, she was. She had like sold cookbooks and stuff.
Yes. Sure.
Yeah. But yeah, I think it's also like this idea that's like, you know, she's kind of hippy dippy, so she would believe in this past life stuff. I think that's kind of the implication that they're throwing out there. It's frustrating watching this for so many reasons, because it's like, it is like, she is a successful businesswoman and like legitimately, she just has bad boundaries with a lot of people. It's cool that she befriended this guy who like loves her dog. Who's like, who is a unhoused guy and who's to me, like a very like New York hardcore kind of guy.
He was absolutely from Central Casting. He was like so New York. He was like, I kill for her. Okay, guy.
You wouldn't be coming out of that room. Anthony Carana, who is just like,
I'm driving down there. I'm going to get my dog.
She has a lot of these like male figures that are like, oh God, I really want to jump ahead to some stuff, but like these weird, like, it's like, and her, it's weird, her dad's in this a lot, and I feel like he's kind of feels pretty distant, or like,
maybe I was that's thinking the same thing.
She's looking for this like protector person or something.
I know. I always think in like stories like this, and I am definitely not above thinking like, you know, I couldn't be dragged into this. But I always think like, where were your girlfriends? Like where, like we only really see her sister who seems awesome. That seemed great. Mm-hmm. And who obviously wasn't clued into her lives. But I always hope to like I was texting with my friends and I was like, if Jonas or I'm ever with someone who's like, I'm going to make your dog immortal, give me $500,000. I need one of you to come over and like punch me in the face. Or like, not something violent, but just like, what the fuck are you doing, girl? But I know it's a lot more complicated than that, but it just definitely like, I think it was notable that there was a lack of other women in her life.
Well, I think like he circles back to this, the idea of like, what are your boundaries when you treat your work as your family? And then it's like, who are your real friends? Like, there were like people that she worked with. She like wouldn't tell them she got married. It was like this really
a lot of confusing
secrecy. It's like, I'm like, aren't these like your close friends, but they're also your employees? Like the power balance is way out of whack. So it's like, she was really lonely because she had to be this, you know, 24-hour boss lady. I think that's some of it. Is in there, but all right, so we talked about Alec Baldwin. We definitely had to talk about that. We talked about a little about scammer culture, which is like all over TV right now, which is, oh man, there's so much. Okay, so Anthony is like a pretty paranoid dude. Here's where I was having some trouble, is like figuring out whether he was believing his own lies or not. Mm-hmm. And I feel like at some point, we learned a lot about Anthony.
I know. Oh, and the other star of this was his ex-wife or ex-girlfriend.
She was great. Yes.
She was great. And how she was like everything was, along the way. She was
married.
Like,
yeah.
Stacey, they were married. Okay.
Because she has, her last name is still has.
That's right. Her last name, Strangis.
And he fathered a child with her.
I know.
And he threatened to kill the child?
I know. And I love that she was just like, then I would never leave my kid alone with him. And it's like, yes, thank you. But like, he left her.
Yeah. Yeah. And so this is not dug into in the series so much. The father. Okay, so the father is super abusive.
Yes.
Gambler, alcoholic.
Anthony's father,
threatened the entire family when he was a kid. Because his wife didn't like that he, like, took a baby Anthony to go gambling or whatever, the dice table.
Yes.
So, and also an ex-cop, you know?
I know.
ACAB.
Perfect.
And
it's like, ex-cop, that checks out,
That checks out.
Or current cop, that would have also checked out.
But like, there's a time where Anthony and his father, I really was struggling to find the attribution for this. Please fact check me if I'm wrong. They were living in a van together. And also the father is like backing up all of his lies with everyone in Sarma's life. So yes, like, he is a secret agent.
Yes, when they went to go pick up Sarma when she went to New Hampshire into the woods.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, so many times she almost got away. So many get out moments here. Where she was like, I set a boundary, but then I was like, the woods.
And I'm scared in the woods. Someone come get me.
And even though I have a fucking pit bull.
Yes, I know. You got Leon. You don't need anyone else,
Leon,
girl.
The best man in this thing.
I know. Love Leon. I know. At every step of the way on this documentary, I was like, but where is Leon?
Yeah.
Who has Leon?
Oh, my God. I know. I know. I'm like more worried about the welfare of Leon. I feel like Anthony, her homeless friend, is sort of a little bit of a pit bull. At least how he presents himself. I don't want to. If we were to dig a little deeper, there's probably more going on there.
I know. Yeah.
Oh God. So okay.
As with every man in her life.
Yeah.
Shittily.
Yeah. It's disappointing. Somehow Anthony knows where she is or who she's communicating with all the time.
Yes.
It's like she forgot that she gave his assistant her all her passwords.
I know. It was like, Sarma, how do you think that he knows all of this? He's in your email.
Oh, I do love that her journals get used in this. I'm like, wow, she really handed her journals to Chris Smith.
Yeah.
I do not intend to ever hand my journals to Chris Smith. Let it be known.
I'll make sure it never happens.
Happen. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's my will and testament recorded in this podcast. Do not give my journals to Chris Smith.
No, hell no.
But I feel like it hits a point where this becomes like you're violating labor laws, and that's the point where her support system that has offered her support and be like, if you need us, we're here for you, and she's been like, no, I got it under control. Me and Leon and Shane Anthony will figure it out. What's happened is. Also, Anthony has an associate named Nazim, who great character.
Loved him.
Great character. Just like chaotic neutral. I don't know what the right term is.
I think that's absolutely perfect for Nazim. I was like, he's definitely shady, but he's more in the right than he is in the wrong.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on with this guy.
Yeah. He has the best chapter title, which is There Is No Angels in Hell.
That's right.
So when this becomes, I feel like for a lot of people, this is a sad manipulation story of someone getting conned, but it becomes a story the minute it is like they actually can't do payroll and it becomes like a labor issue, and all of her employees who still call her Sarmama are like, yo, we haven't been paid in like 2 months. What is going on? We can't live on crystals and hippie juice or whatever, you know? So
yeah, we're running out of celery here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So, and this is happening when, oh my God, we have to go back to the cosmology of the universe that Anthony has created. Incoherent. Like John Wick makes more sense. You know, like it's true. He's like, there's a they... There's a family. You have to prove these tests to them, which all involve you wiring me money. This is always the test in every scammer thing, apparently, is someone wiring
It always involves you giving me money. I think that's like a litmus test we should all hold ourselves to. Like,
right.
Am I in a scam? Does this guy want $5,000 from me? I'm in a scam.
Yes, yes. I have so many sidebars. My friend Clark just put together this zine, and it's like they actually have a playbook for like the Nigerian email love scam. There's an entire like flowchart of like how you're supposed to respond to people, and I was gonna just shout out to this zine Check 5-9 Publications. I
gotta see this.
Yeah. Maybe I'll do it. We'll do a Patreon bonus where I just go review the zine.
Yes, I'm listening.
Yeah, yeah. So he's really it's so frustrating because it's like she's like a successful businesswoman on paper, but then there's all this debt and like she's just funneled all $1.7 million in a 2-year period. while she's married to this dude.
Yeah.
He's getting $1.7 million from her, most of which is just funneled, like, from nightly, you know, bank deposits from the restaurant. Like,
I know.
Which is, like, I'm like, I don't know how much this is a cash business in that day, but I guess it was. Yeah. Yeah. They're, like, just handing cash to Nazim or to Anthony, and he's like, I'm going to make sure this gets deposited in, you know, the slots, essentially. Yep.
Exactly. Ugh. And it did, like, such a masterful job of, like, it's just so interesting how devoted she was to the restaurant, Sar Mama. She was always there. It's a family, you know, this kind of, these kinds of vibes. And then, I don't know, he was able to kind of, like, worm his way in and become her primary relationship and then separate her so much from this thing that she loved, these people who she loved and who she claimed to love, and to a point where it was like he was taking everything from her, and it, not even just from her, from all of the people who she claimed to love. And then she, you know, and then she kind of was just like so deep into it, she just like put her head in the sand and obviously went into like this full-on delusional state where, because at one point she says like, I mean, I didn't know what was going on. I had to change my name. It's like, well, when you had to change your name, I don't know. It's like you just know someone's into a course of super shitty situation of their, like, it's like there's part of her who understands what's happening, but not enough to stop it.
This is like kind of like what the crux of this series sort of leans toward is like, what, you know, what is the extent of culpability or accountability that she has? And, you know, I looked at some Twitter discourse. Of course, it's a lot of it is just like white privilege. Like, you know, like this wouldn't have this could not, you don't do 4 months of jail time and then just get back to blogging if you're not absolutely like this celebrity white woman. And there's that aspect of it. And then there's just like the way that the series ends really is called into question. And I forwarded you this article that came out. Yes. There was an interview with Chris Smith. Because it is really, it is like, if this is about like massively gaslighting, manipulation, relationship, and not something that we can like, it's, you know, but it's still so bonkers that we have to be like, kind of like, what?
Yeah.
How did you go for all of this? This is just a guy who plays video games all day. Her like kind of fugue state, like when she's like, that's the big question. The last episode is just like the cops come to her. She's like, you know, she's kind of like, I was kind of, I
relieved.
Yeah. But she like, yeah, like, I don't know. Where do you land on like kind of like what percent of her conscious, like she's just like, I can't run away because I'm as deep as this asshole. And and that's all it is. Or like, I mean, like she's definitely, it's really hard to talk about, I feel like, a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It's so, I feel, I think like what you're saying, like it's so layered, like there's so much shit going on. And I do think that she's in it's a domestic violence situation. Yeah. She's an abusive, like obviously like how they were talking about, she like lost a ton of weight. She like wasn't really getting out of bed. She only had one friend, the guy who worked at Chipotle.
The Chipotle guy. Yeah.
Right. And like, which was amazing. And like, and so it's like, yeah, you think like, oh, you were just like so deep in it, you couldn't see light and like you didn't. But I do think like she does get a surprising amount of grace because of how she looks and how she's, you know, and like kind of like what her standing was in society and her white privilege and her, you know, just like all of the connections that she has too. But like there's questions that I still have, like did she pay everyone back eventually? Like when she went back to the city, but before they went back to Pigeon Forge, she got $60,000 from who did she get $60,000 from?
Hell no.
I could not go into anyone and ask for, who could you, is there anyone that you know you could go to and be like, I need 60 grand, bye.
I think my family would, like if something happened, I could get something from my family, like, collect, but like outside of family, I don't think so. But, you know, it's like, it is like a cult, right? It's, but the, this is like a cult of two people. It's
yeah.
It's a crazy thing. And like, I'm like, that's kind of what, there's a lot of talk about like, what is reality in this whole world, right? Like, and like, in a way, if you're a self-made person who's like, made like your dreams, like to the point of like, in terms of like her work world, she is a totally a self-made person who has like a reality. Like it was like, I'm on my way to making this thing a reality. I'm on my way to like, this is going to be a global brand, you know,
yeah.
like pure great food and wine, great, great company, which it should be called now. That's what she rename it now.
That would be amazing.
after all this, I did also read though that, all the people that were interviewed by Netflix for this series got paid by Netflix.
Good, but she didn't, right?
But she didn't. So good. At least that's like one way to resolve these disputes is like, oh, you can be a talking head in a documentary and you can finally get back the money you're owed.
Yeah.
From negligent business people. But yeah, it's a cult deprogramming situation. It's very like Wild Wild Country. It's very like a lot of like, you know, there was a brighter utopian ideal world that she wanted to get to, which involves, you know, advocating for this way of eating, right? And
yeah.
like this diet. And
which I get, it's really easy to feel very passionate about veganism. Mm-hmm. Like you, I also feel very passionate about veganism. And I understand like that impulse to be like, I want to grow this. I want to, you know, but then she obviously did have this kind of like, because she had, remember there's that one part where she's like, I'm going to be a benevolent queen or like a compassionate queen.
Oh God. Yeah. Like, right? What is your role? Yeah. Like, what is your role in the family, the mysterious family? Like, honestly, like this is like, it's like the plot of like Moon Knight makes more sense to me. like, what is this family? I don't get it. Yeah.
It's like he was just playing Mad Libs or something while he's gambling and texting her.
Right.
Like, or like he looked up and saw someone with like a tiger on their sweatshirt and was like, in heaven, there will be tigers who are our friends.
Yeah.
And she's like, wow. You know, like it's so.
Yeah.
It's so choose your own adventure.
Such a Kaiser Soze. Just like, totally. Queen. You're queen of hearts. You'll be the queen of the family.
And then she journals for 20 pages about how she's going to be a compassionate queen.
Oh,
it's like, oh my God.
Oh yeah, it's a shame. So yeah, I feel like when you fuck with like working people, like you're definitely a villain at that point. So
yeah,
she becomes a villain.
That's where her story changes a little bit, right? Because you're like, until then, you're like, you're fully just being abused by this psychopath.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then it's like, but then you these people who you supposedly loved and cared for and called your family, which is like obviously a bullshit capitalism thing where it's just like, it's a fucking job, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But like, yeah, it's like, especially at one point someone says it's like you had people there working where like the mom, the dad, the daughter all worked there. And then all of a sudden they didn't have paychecks. And of course your heart is like,
yeah,
fuck, you know,
especially like living through like the last 2 years and like hearing stories about like, even like just not even just like front of house people, like back of house people. A lot of them were undocumented in the last 2 years, couldn't get like the stimulus and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So it's just like, I'm did not many conversations with like dishwashers or anyone else behind the scenes. You know, I assume they still had to wash dishes at the raw place. like we don't use soap here. I'm like, no hot water allowed.
Yeah, come on, it has to be beneath 82 degrees.
Yeah, you got clean your dishes with just a brush.
Enjoy your salmonella.
Oh my God, this is another. I don't know if that ever happened in Cafe Gratitude, but I keep ripping on these. I feel like there's so many food cults. There's also like Suma Ching Hai. Do you know that?
Oh, Supreme Master Ching Hai.
Supreme Master.
Oh my God.
Good food. Good food, though.
Great food. Loving Hot. Come on, you got to give it up. But then it's a fucking cult.
Fucking, and like, for sure. I've eaten there so much.
So much. And she's like, I know, I really wish that she was not, didn't have a cult, because she as a human being is so fascinating and cool to me. But then when you read about the stuff you're doing, you're like, that's not cool. Like,
oh,
that fucking sucks. But then it's like, she's like, she's an amazing art. She's like, all of her propaganda is like, she's the world's best artist. She's an amazing textile designer. Yeah. Her voice conjures angels. She communes with the birds. Like, it's, you're like, all this shit rules. Like,
she's Dr. Doolittle.
Yeah. Yeah. You're like, Dr. Doolittle, this chick is awesome. And then you start to read, oh, she's actually excavating the coral reefs around the island where she has people enslaved and takes all of their money. And I don't know. And then you're like, well, this is a fucking awful.
That's the next documentary for Netflix. We just pitched it. This is our
pitch. Oh, yeah. I can't believe they haven't done a Ching Hai. But you know what? I remember when I was at, writing at Veg News Magazine, and they did kind of a very light-handed expose of Master Ching Hai. And they never got letters or emails about anything, and they were like flooded, inundated with people being like, how dare you speak about her this way? Like, you will be cursed. Like, really, like, hardcore. Laura, like, she has acolytes.
I hate to tell you, the listenership of this podcast, you're going to get a lot of tweets and emails. Because, they were definitely very popular in the Ching Hai community. cults, you think cults, like, they figured out a way to feed a lot of people quickly in, like, a way that, like, a lot of cults, like, would, like, you just eat kind of like a porridge or something. Because, like, you have to have enough energy to do the manual labor they want you to do, but not enough for your brain to start being, like, oh, I've got a lot of carbs to burn. Why am I in this situation? Right?
Like, it's enough to keep you pulling the machine, but not enough to get you thinking about pulling the machine.
Right. Yeah. So that's like kind of like cult food, but it's for some reason, I think, that raw, I guess, is not the same as that. Obviously, it's a very different. I've been making a lot of congee lately.
Delicious.
A lot of porridge. There's so many characters in here because there's like all the restaurant workers that we talked to. There's Nazim, who is the only person who kind of like pulls back, because of course Anthony's not giving interviews. They put in there like, he refused to. To the very point of like the very first part of the documentary is like a recorded conversation between Sarma and him about did you hear any from a Netflix documentary crew? I'm like, you're being filmed by the Netflix documentary.
It's happening right now. I know. It's very exciting. You get a thrill. Yeah.
It's set up to be this like real sting operation. But then it's sort of like, that's why the ending of it, when you hear the conversation between them, feels so like the rug being pulled out from under. She was not happy with how that edit happened. It was a conversation.
I would also not be.
I would not either. I mean, it does seem like they have as much of a kind of random cordial relationship of a phone conversation as you would imagine any ex-husband and ex-wife who were both convicted of the same crime might have. Like, kind of like, look, can you believe this shit? It's kind of one of those.
Like, holy shit, we survived.
Yeah. Yeah, but he, oh my God, I just read about him. Post jail, they did have a couple of text exchanges post jail, but also he love bombed, manipulated, married, and then divorced this right wing editor who's behind the Katie Hill leak. Do you know about this story?
No shit.
Yeah.
No, I do know about this story, but I didn't.
I didn't remember.
I mean, I know about the Katie Hill stuff.
I remembered like there was sort of like a revenge porn thing from her ex-husband.
With her shitty ex-husband.
And so the publication that actually published the photos, the editor of that, the person working on that story, was in a relationship with Anthony at this time.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Holy shit. It's like a cesspool.
Yeah.
It's just like a dirty,
and
stagnant water.
And we know this because Sarma like tweeted something about it, and then Anthony like texts her like, I got some inside scoop on what's going on with Katie Hill. And she's like, bullshit, you don't have inside scoop on shit. But he actually did this time, because he was he was with the woman who leaked the photo. So
that is so crazy.
So
I know,
many.
But you would think, Sarma, why isn't his number just fully blocked? Like, why are you don't talk to him, period. He's
right.
Poison.
He
should be blocked. His ass. What's up, girl?
Can I just throw in just more side things? These are not things in the documentary.
Yes, please.
She hooked up with Louis C.K. in like 2012. And
Alec Baldwin really is the best of the bunch.
Yeah, yeah. I know, the murderer, it turned out. He gave her an STD. There's an article on Pajiba about it. I just stumbled across it today. And just like, but it's like,
Pharma.
I don't know why she gave the emails to a writer, but like, there's just the excuse he gives her about like, sorry, we're adults. We give each other STDs sometimes. Just so bad.
Ugh, so he's bad. So gross. What a fucking gross
out. He just won a fucking Grammy. I can't believe this shit.
I know. It's so fucking gross.
It's almost like the entertainment industry is corrupt.
And him from the fucking Oscars. I know. It's almost like this industry is poison and filled with devil people.
I mean.
It's weird.
I can remain pure because I'm not employed by the entertainment
industry. As an employee of pure food and wine and one pure duck, I can say.
Oh, wait. No, actually, I technically work for the same employers that Howard Stern does. So when he's there's a hot little blonde over here. I'm like, I guess. I didn't work here then, but I guess that reflects on me somehow.
I mean, George, I work for Fox, so.
Yeah, exactly.
There are no angels in hell.
That is the real subtitle of this whole episode. Oh, my God. So, they're paranoid. He's talking about red shirts, blue shirts. Can we talk about the Chipotle buddy for a second?
Yes.
The one, this is like a recreation of her relationship with
it was. Yeah. It was the exact same. It was
the other Anthony.
The
Anthony
Tennessee
Carano.
Version.
Yeah, yeah.
That was the Tennessee version of her New York buddy.
Dustin Hall, is that the guy's name?
Yes.
I love the interview with him. I'm like, is everyone kind of like in love with her? What is happening?
I know. I was thinking too. Like George, just as we've been talking, I've been thinking like, is this what it's like to go through life being just like someone who is perceived as like classically hot and like extremely desirable by the certain type of like gross man who likes to acquire prizes and so like an attractive woman on his arm is like the equivalent of having a boat or I guess a yacht, not like a tugboat, but like or like, you know, a really nice house. I'm with the guy who wants the tugboat.
Yeah,
I'm
a dinghy over here. I've got the dinghy.
Exactly.
I'm buoyant.
Like I'm all fucked up and you have to pull me along behind
junk.
And barely can tread water.
A literal junk. Yeah. I'm a junk man.
Exactly. I'm filled with garbage.
I mean,
but you know, like there is something to be said for like you know, Louis C.K. What's his name?
Yeah,
that fucking freak thinks
that
like he deserves to like you know show his ugly dong to like whatever woman that he even finds remotely desirable, and so I'm sure that he like thinks that he deserves, and you know, obviously like Howard Stern, Alec Baldwin, and all of these guys think that they deserve this type of woman, but she. You know, but it's like with no consideration for her internal life or who she actually is as a human being.
We hear so much from her. I'm frankly shocked that she agreed to do this documentary. Mm-hmm. I don't know that it works without her in it, but like for as much as we hear her side of things, she has this whole thing about like her being a weirdo growing up and being kind of like basically
she has, like, dyed hair.
Yeah, she's like a Gen X emo. Essentially, I don't know better. Yeah. I mean, I assume she's like late 40s at this point, early 50s.
I think so.
Yeah.
That sounds right.
Yeah. Like her, I don't know. There's got to be more to that we are not really totally getting into. But you seem like you come from a pretty normal background. I don't know.
Yeah.
This, but like psychologically, she's kind of this loner. And I don't know. So there's something about her, like, lack of, I will say, I have a theory about what you were saying about, like, her, like, being sort of, like, sucked in all these things with, like, people that want to treat her like a trophy. Because I do, maybe she has, like, doesn't have a good female friend circle. I definitely picked up, I feel like that's definitely true. And I feel like that might be a thing that happens sometimes with women that like maybe have not a good support network, right? Like, and that might make them more vulnerable to this type of situation, right?
Yeah.
Like,
I mean,
think
it's so hard to be a
chicken
woman.
Egg thing, yeah, a little
yeah.
bit. Yeah.
It's hard to be a person, but it's definitely hard to be to not have that support. I don't like it seems really lonely. Like my friends
she
are
seems
everything
super
to me.
She seems
yeah,
so
she seems lonely,
super
lonely and she's isolated, and that was probably very attractive to Shane/
Mr. Fox.
Mr. Fox, you know, like to find someone that's kind of isolated in that way and then to further isolate them.
I mean,
is,
yeah.
It's textbook.
Words
yeah.
with friend.
Yeah,
only
words
one friend.
With friend. And it's this fucking loser. It's like, no, thank you. I know. Just
no words
lock
with
the door
guy.
And get in bed with Leon. Yeah. He's like, you know.
Leon, the best man. I feel like man, we've man. Sliced and diced this topic as far as
then
I care to. I mean,
yes.
There is like a degree of schadenfreude I was having watching this. I mean, like, they, like at the end, they kind of compare her to Patty Hearst and talk about mm-hmm. Stockholm Syndrome. And I'm just like, Patty Hearst was like, definitely wouldn't be in the position she was in if she wasn't this heiress, right? Like, that's
she wasn't Patty Hearst.
Right.
Yes.
Like, there's not, I mean, it's sort of like a hard comparison to make, but she married the guy pretty early. I will say she fell for the marriage part of the scam real early on, and he was just like, I'm just gonna coast and eat tuna fish sandwiches. I love tuna fish sandwiches with extra mayo. I'm like, you know, even a broken clock is right twice a day. and then like the vegan angle is like super misleading. I have a better name for this whole series.
Yes, George, what is it?
Meat suit.
Oh my gosh, that's perfect. But you probably have to put on like not Lady Gaga as like on the parentheses
at the end
because you need to get
first
people
think of meats. I mean, I was like, and I did not think of Lady Gaga first. I'm like, oh, this is like William H. Gibson. This is like Necromancer. This is like straight up like, oh, we are in the talking metaverse, right? This is Lawnmower Man. This guy, this guy loved Lawnmower Man. He's the right age to have loved Lawnmower Man. Laura. This has been very fun. We play a game on this show sometimes because inevitably Hollywood's going to also turn this into a series, a scripted series, because that is the obligation. Every documentary needs to have every document. If they don't have
it's
a podcast,
it's in the Constitution.
It's the IP, the IP law, new IP law. IP is like 360 IP.
Hollywood, get the merch. Hire me. I'm interested.
Yes, got to get the merch, got everything.
George and I want to write this.
Exactly, and we have some casting ideas. Laura, what's your cast?
Yes.
We're going to play Cast This Doc real quick.
Ooh. Gotta cast this doc. Cast this doc.
All right, who did you have for your cast a doc?
Okay, so Sarma, I think, is very obviously Charlize Theron, or Margot Robbie was my other one.
Ooh, she's...
That I feel maybe too young, but
well,
I,
both great, both really good actors. I'm kind of leaning more the Charlize direction. Just in terms of, I think, maybe the age. Yeah, I think maybe
age appropriateness.
Age and stuff like that, yeah. I think
so. I could see her really conveying kind of the quiet sadness of Sarma. And also just like just absolutely being an amazing owner of a raw food restaurant. I want to see Charlize as Sarma Mama
for sure. I could see her kind of just like quietly, you know, breaking down in a Chipotle and like very much like actually, that film she did, Young Adults, I think that's exactly the way to play it.
The absolute, I think she even had pigtails in that movie.
Oh my God.
Like Sarma's
the
always
pigtails.
Pigtail.
The
fucking
pigtails. Oh, Lordy. And then you had an interesting choice that I had to Google because this is not a household name, but it's definitely a name. If you see this guy, you know who the hell this guy is.
Oh, for yes. Anthony. For Strangest.
Yeah.
I thought, Greg Grenberg is the first person that came to mind. I mean, I know him mainly from Felicity.
Yeah.
And he's been in a ton of stuff. Like, I think people will most likely recognize
Heroes.
His face.
Yeah, he was in Heroes. Yes. This is pretty perfect, I have to say. I thought I had a good one, but I think yours is.
Who'd you have?
I had Derek Delgadio.
Who's that?
Okay, so if you... Derek Delgadio,
I'm Googling.
We made a lot of fun of him when we did this crossover episode with Fraudcast, but he did this magic Broadway performance.
Oh my God, this guy. Yes, George. Yes, this is good.
But like the difference is like your guy, Greg Grunberg, I can see him just like yelling in the phone and being actually scary. Whereas Derek Delgadio is more like the school shooter type of scary.
Yeah, like totally. Or like someone pushed this nerd in a puddle. Oh, like I'm tired of listening to him.
I mean, he has like a very dark undercurrent. He is in Kimmy, the HBO thing with...
Oh, I haven't watched it yet. Okay. I really want to.
So he has a role in Kimmy. But yeah, I had not seen him acting anything. I'm like, who the hell? Is it like Magician? Is it Kimmy?
Oh my God, I remember everyone talking about his thing.
So yeah, and then I had a different pick for Sarma, which I think is maybe more apt for like present day Sarma. I thought Laura Linney.
Oh my God, she'd be phenomenal.
She'd be so good, but also like the way when Sarma is being interviewed and can't ask a question like, oh, did I fire that guy? I don't remember firing that guy. Like, I'm like, I think of Laura Linney as being like, she would like maybe give away too much of her intelligence in that moment. Whereas Sarma plays dumb very well. She's like,
very well. She goes blank.
Yeah. She's very good at going blank. Which is like, she fucking has this business degree and like was doing all this stuff. It doesn't.
She seems brain dead half the time. You're like, what's going on in there?
It just like the trauma of being in this Greg Grunberg relationship really did her.
It's true. But Laura Linney is such a good actress. Yeah. I think she could go dumb.
I really think like between you and I, we've kind of like got the right. We got the Pinterest board correct for the casting.
Yeah, we're in the ballpark.
Can I also my favorite? Like, I don't have in my casting. Okay, I don't know the name of the actor who plays Will Richards, who is the security expert who gets the emails, because IMDb has Will Richards played by self. Like, he's just another one of these documentary subjects. And here I'm like, IMDb, that cannot be right, IMDb.
Who is Will Richards?
Yeah. And then you found...
Yes, I found on Facebook, there's this guy, David O'Reilly, who starts off, he goes, I need to make a public statement. Over the last few days, I have received many messages about a documentary on Netflix called Bad Vegan. Apparently, a person named Will Richards, who looks and sounds like me, appears in the movie. I finally had a chance to see it last night and was stunned by the resemblance. It would appear I have an actual doppelganger. Oh, I'm putting this out in hopes that Netflix can contact me with this person.
They look alike.
They look so much alike.
Found the guy.
Netflix, the actor who played Will Richards, please get into contact with David O'Reilly, because they're freaking identical and something is... Maybe this is like some sort of a deep fake too. Like maybe is the actor.
Wait, is he a documentary filmmaker? Maybe he is the guy and he just knows like Chris Smith somehow.
It's quite possible. I feel like there's like something deeper going on here.
It looks like him. So maybe maybe that is the angle. I'm looking Irish film. And he was Irish, right?
I think so.
I think it was him.
You think it's him?
That's a joke. Then that's a joke. It is him. And then it's a joke with him and Chris Smith that he put him in there. And so it is David O'Reilly. Irish, born in 85. This is the dude. That's hilarious.
So at some point, he, via email, introduced me to somebody named Will Richards, some sort of computer techie expert that works in the government somewhere in Europe.
Shane and I were working together for years. There's a lot that I can't divulge. I was involved in making sure that Sarma didn't go off the rails.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding right your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. Auto Trader.
I'm sorry. You are totally right. George, this is amazing.
Okay, we solved it. But IMDb has it wrong, is the main thing.
I think that David O'Reilly would like to keep it that way.
David O'Reilly.
This is like his
but
little...
then why would he put that out there? Okay, so David O'Reilly is also my same cast as the character that he plays in the series, Will Richards. That is David.
Yes.
Will Richards played by David O'Reilly, just to make it a complete Ouroboros.
Yes.
Yeah.
And of course, the pit bull from John Wick.
Oh, yeah.
As Leon.
Aw. Yeah. Leon. Sweet Leon.
That dog has charisma, and Leon's got charisma, and it just makes sense.
I hate to say that means this has to start shooting soon. Just in terms of like dog life fans.
Oh my gosh. We got it.
I'm sorry to bum you out. I mean, if there was only some way to make this dog immortal.
I swear. But you know, I was like fully, I got that because, you know, like the love of my life dog is a pit bull.
Aww.
Who has passed.
Aww.
And who, Hazel, RIP, mm-hmm. just the absolute best dog ever. Aww. And when I was watching Leon, I felt like, I get it. Like, maybe, you know, if, like, Jonas, my then boyfriend, now husband, had been more of a con artist and, like, had been like, listen, I think I really have figured it out. Like, Hazel can live forever. I don't know if I probably would have given him money and blood and whatever else he asked for. I don't know. I get the power of the dog.
Yeah. No, I was actually going to shout out that, like, if you join the SupDoc Patreon, we will make your dog immortal. We'll figure it out.
Oh, my God. That's perfect.
It might be cryogenesis. Right, we'll... It might just mean I do a painting of your dog and immortalize them that way.
Yes, that's perfect.
I'll do a painting of you, the certain level of Patreon. You just get a portrait from me. I'm real good at portraits. All right. Laura, thanks so much for coming on to talk about what you thought was going to be a totally different topic about factory farming.
So ready. I'm going to like convert some motherfuckers today. I was like very like, I'm going to get in here with my talking points about veganism, and then like 5 minutes. And I was like, the fuck is this?
I mean, there is definitely other films to talk about that stuff.
Yes.
But also, as has been noted, a lot of our listeners already Sima Ching Hai followers. So,
yes,
you don't need to like paint a barn twice. I don't know if that's a metaphor ever been said, but I'm going to.
It's beautiful coinage. And perfect.
Laura, what do you want to promote of yourself? I feel like The Great North. I'm finally going to get it right. Finally going to get it
on
right.
You can watch The Pure North on Fox on Sunday nights and the next day on Hulu. I guess that's it from me.
I mean, that's a lot, honestly. Like you've made
something.
Look, for like, you've made it from the Bay Area crew, you know, like very.
Yes. The Bay Area crew, right?
Yeah. Claire O'Kane writing for SNL. Just learned that recently.
Huge.
Yeah,
I know. We always got to give it up for the Bay Area.
Yeah, exactly. I'm really glad we got to talk about this.
I really needed
to talk about this fucking show. It's so bonkers.
I know. I was halfway through the first one, and I was like, holy shit, there's four of these? I need to send George an apology email.
No, I mean, I watched it. I watched it already, though.
Okay,
like,
good.
I was, like, down to do it, because I'm like, oh, yeah, this is nuts.
This shit's crazy. This is nuts. Yeah.
I don't even know that I recommend this necessarily, because it's like...
Yeah, would you?
If you want it, I feel like... I don't know if I would, like, can you learn, what do we learn from this? I don't know if we learn anything. I mean, just try not to fall in love on Words with Friends or Wordle or whatever. Like, what if you could just fall in love on Wordle? That would be happening right now.
Don't play any online games. Don't talk to other people. Stay in your house with your pit bull.
Don't trust Alec Baldwin.
Outside.
Like, we've
don't
all learned. Don't at Alec Baldwin, he's probably not responding right now, but in general.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Or maybe you should marry Alec Baldwin.
Or you should, and that would have saved everyone. It might have been a whole...
Yes.
A whole...
But then we wouldn't have had Ilaria.
Yeah. Oh.
And to think of a world that we don't have Ilaria is heartbreaking.
Honestly, I don't think much about her or know much about her other than... Like, is her name made up? Is that the thing?
How do you say cucumber?
Oh, Oh, man.
Speaking, this documentary does feel very dated to 2022, though, doesn't it?
I'm like Katie Hill would be not still have her place in the political system if not for guy hadn't gotten as far as he did.
I know, and I love Katie Hill.
Yeah, I don't know enough about it other than this, so. It's just another reason to dislike this dude. Just also like, yeah. Oh, he might have taken the new last name of the person he married recently so he could just have a new last name so he could.
He's never going to stop.
Scammers be scamming.
They be scamming. Grifters got to grift. Scammers
got to
scam.
Tuna fish salads got to be eaten from Subway. Someone's got to keep Subway in business. That's right. Laura, thanks so much for being on the show.
Thanks, George. Thanks for having me. It was so much fun.
Thanks for listening. You can find out more about SupDoc at supdocpodcast.com. Our theme music was written by David Siegel, and our executive producer is Will Scovel. Our associate producer is Nick Coltis, and our editor is Karen Hogg. Donate to the show through our Patreon page, patreon.com/supdocpodcast. If you want to help out in other ways, please share this show with a friend. Join the Doc Talk and check out our hot takes, pictures, and videos on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. We're SupDoc Podcast on all those platforms. Don't forget to rate, review, and follow on Apple Podcasts. Find Paco and George's comedy gigs on the About Us page on our site. SupDoc is by Doc fans for Doc fans. So if you want to advertise, got a film, or opinions to share, hit us up. We'd love to hear from you and what you're docking out on. Email us at supdocpodcast@gmail.com.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.